I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't want to wait for the new Toyota. I want the car that's got a lot of gas.
I do too. That is Bernstein and Rahimi. I'm Lawrence Holmes. This hour is being brought to you by CarX Tire and Auto online at CarX.com. Ray, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
You know what? We give a lot as fans to sit at baseball games in the summer. I think that there need to be some more fresh fruit options at games. I see it as a cart. I don't see it as something that you go to. I think there's a fruit man with a cart. Here's something to help hydrate you as you're baking in the sun on 35th and Shields. I'm just giving you options. I'm not saying you can't have pizza and churros. Like, we clearly love churros on this show. This texter says, also, your idea of fruit vendors is done in Latin America. When I visit Mexico for Christmas, tons of street vendors selling fresh fruit and fruit-forward popsicles at baseball games. Yes!
It's also done probably a few blocks away from your favorite ballpark.
Correct! Ray, we all know the fruit, man.
Come on.
The fruit man be on 31st. He be on 35th. He's clearly up and down Clark. Someone gave me an idea for the name of this thing that we could call it. Here it is. This is so good. 815 texter says, launch angle fruit stand, where the fruit is always served at 34 degrees. That is bleeping brilliant, and I'm stealing it.
Make me a bicycle, clown.
I'm 100% stealing it. The bottom of the hour is being brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified. Face up! Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. Lucas Williamson of Loyola is going to join me at 1. Man, you have got to see this documentary that they put together, the Loyola Project. It's pretty special. We are going to talk with him about that. We do have Top 5 Tuesday. I think we probably need to move it because we're already behind, but that's okay. Next up, Cody Westerlund joins me to talk about the Bulls. We will do that next here on The Score.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
So this ball game is over and the New York Knickerbockers win their fourth in a row and their seventh in their last 11 games, handing the Bulls a very, very tough defeat. And the final 109-104 New York.
Yeah, it was not good last night, and I'm so happy that I got the chance to do transition with Dan and Layla because it put me in a much better mood than what I was in thinking about talking about the Bulls and the way that they played last night. Cody Westerlund covers the Bulls for us here at The Score. He joins me on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline. Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Cody, I felt like we saw the Bulls last night let go of the rope after they got off to a really hot start in the first quarter. What happened?
Well, this is a continuing problem in many ways for the Bulls here. Their bench didn't produce hardly anything for them last night. And really, when you look back, the game got away. They often go to DeMar DeRozan early in second or fourth quarters to carry a bench unit that hasn't performed well enough. And sometimes those bench guys don't have a rhythm when it's just kind of DeMar in isolation. And even when he's scoring, they might not be playing as free-flowing as they should for the longer stint or stretch. So when it bogs down on offense a little bit, this is a team that Billy Donovan has lamented lets their offense affect their defense. And that second unit, when you're trotting out some young guys, some overmatched guys on defense, they let it get away and they weren't productive on offense. And the Knicks hit some three-pointers, got control of the game there kind of mid-second quarter by the end of the second quarter. And from there, we saw it just kind of spiral for the Bulls again. I mean, that's a bad loss when you're pushing for the playoffs, working on seeding, and you let that one get away against the Knicks team that has played better here in the last week, but all in all has had a disappointing season.
You and I were talking about Patrick Williams, and I feel like the two of us were kind of on the same page of you can't expect the world from this guy. It's been worse than I thought, and I really wasn't expecting anything, but you look at the game that he had last night, and the choice to not insert him into the game after Alex Caruso fouled out, that doesn't seem like it feels like he's in a good place with this coaching staff.
He's not. I mean, it's not to say there's friction, but when it comes down to trust of who to put in, no, his play has not asserted himself in any way to have the honor of closing a game, even when one of the key starters fouls out. And like you mentioned, no shots in 13 minutes against the Knicks. I think he's averaging 4 field goal attempts per game since returning from that serious wrist injury. And he just hasn't been aggressive whatsoever at all. And that is largely on him. I know that he often ends up in the corner in the Bulls offense. That's also a spot that Javonte Green ends up often. But a couple times a game, you see Javonte Green flying at the rim and trying to dunk or attack. And you don't see that very often from Patrick Williams. So he needs to have a little bit more of a decisive mindset if he's going to take the next step. You cannot develop as a basketball player if you aren't a little more aggressive, a little more assertive. And right now he's really taken a back seat in the role to everything. The Bulls got him in the middle of the floor a couple times last night, had one good pass that he sprayed out to Coby White, had one really bad turnover. They kind of went away from that anymore of putting him in the middle of the floor, being in pick and roll after that. So it's incumbent upon him. And right now, Billy Donovan and the coaching staff's in a difficult position because you want to develop him, but you played so hard so long all year that you want to do what's best for the team, what's best for playoff seeding. And when the playoffs roll around, what gives you the best chance to win every single game, every single second of that game?
It's weird because he needs the time, like on the floor with the other guys, to try and find himself. You know, Vooch went through some of this earlier in the season of trying to figure out what your game is with the rest of the guys out there. But I understand them saying, no, we'll go with the smaller, less athletic player in these situations because he's not aggressive enough. And I'm trying to figure out, is that just a personality trait that can somehow be coached out of him? Or is this who he always was, even at Florida State? And looking at the Florida State tape of him, it seemed like he was able to find offense and aggression when he needed to.
Yeah, the truth always lies in the middle, right? Like, he's never going to be a gunner. At this point, I don't see Patrick Williams ever being a 20 points per game scorer in the NBA in any way. But yes, there is certainly another level that can be coached into him that can come with time and experience of him being more aggressive, of him turning into a productive offensive player when he gets more time and experience. When you're looking at, can he average 15 points and be a good defender? Certainly, that is absolutely within the realm of possibility here in his development. But when you look at his mindset, no, I don't see offensive superstar. I don't see offensive star, anything like that. I mean, these young guys that are really good on offense and project to be a star on that end at some point come in far more aggressive in the league, far more certain of what they want to do, and go through a lot of growing pains. The difference is that those young guys' growing pains, I mean, you look at some of Anthony Edwards' shooting lines as a rookie, like he'd be like 4 of 19, you know what I mean? And Patrick Williams was never in that offensive realm of like of Anthony Edwards or anything like that, but it's kind of just jarring to see 0 shots or some of these games, even when he's playing 19 minutes and has 3 shots. So it's on him, again, to be more aggressive. I think it's a mindset thing. I think it will come with more time. And I've made a point a little bit. It feels like in these situations going into the year, we were like, can DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine exist at a high plane? You know, can they be efficient together? Is that going to work? For the most part, the DeMar-Zach pairing has worked very well on the offensive end. But you know what? Zach is really comfortable playing off the dribble or in an isolation set if DeMar's had the ball for 7 or 8 seconds or something like that and operated, and then it gets swung to Zach in some sort of offensive set. These young guys, Patrick Williams notably, I think Kobe White as well, they don't play as well off DeMar DeRozan's isolation as these veterans like Zach and like Vooch, who are obviously more talented offensive basketball players, far more established. But for these young guys, I think it can be difficult at times playing off some of that isolation heavy Bulls basketball, and you're seeing kind of the ugly side of that at times here recently.
Washington's coming off a win against Golden State. What is there to worry about before tonight's game?
Well, I mean, I think the Bulls got to worry about themselves for the most part, right? A second game of a back-to-back, they're going to have to come out far better on offense and defense, obviously, just with how well they flowed both ends. And Billy Donovan has hammered this point again and again. He does not want offensive struggles to affect their team defensively in any way. So I think the Bulls need to focus on that defensive end a little bit more just by way of forcing turnovers. I think they had 6 forced turnovers against the Knicks, which is a really bad number, especially for an opposing team that's had a lot of point guard troubles this year and in recent years in the starting position. So the Bulls so often seem to go as they go transition-wise. If they can get out in transition and force turnovers, that's far and away when they're at their best, no matter who has and hasn't been in the lineup at various times. And other than Lonzo Ball, they have the personnel to force turnovers at this point when you got Alex Caruso back, Ayo Dosunmu. Patrick Williams, for all his faults we've mentioned here, is good at getting in passing lanes and kind of playing help defense and off-ball defense. So they have these guys, and I think that's going to be one of the biggest keys to the game against this Wizards team tonight.
Cody, why are you mad at NBA TV?
I mean, Lawrence, this is just terrible production. Like, what does Mitch say all the time?
Play the hits,
right?
Yep.
Play the hits. You are an NBA TV post-game highlight show, and you're not showing highlights. They were showing a John Stockton 75th annual or 75 greatest players segment last night for like 8 minutes, had 2 commercial breaks bookending it, and I went like 22 minutes without watching NBA highlights almost last night. Maybe it was 17. I don't know. I got frustrated. I could have brushed my teeth like 4 times in the amount of time that the NBA TV was showing John Stockton highlights. It's like 9 games. The playoffs are 2 weeks away. We got to figure this out. We need Mitch to put in a call, send an email to them that just says, play the hits, play the highlights. I want all the Warriors Grizz highlights. I need more Grizzlies highlights when they don't have Ja Morant and they're still talking trash to a really good Warriors team. Like, I need all of that. I don't need 3 seconds of that in John Stockton, who should not be in the news right now on an NBA highlight show, Lawrence. Like, we got to get this figured out.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. You are, that's why your teeth are so great, because you are out here really brushing them. Cody, as always, I appreciate the time, sir.
You have a good day, Lawrence.
I'm going to do my best. Cody's out here. I like when Cody's on the muscle, because he's like Ray. They're both super nice people. But with Cody, occasionally something gets under his skin, and he is not afraid to tell you what's getting under his skin. Also, he spends a lot of time brushing his teeth. That's what we found out today, Ray.
Good dental hygiene. It's great.
It's important. It's important.
Got to get that flossing in.
Absolutely. What's your, do you go floss, brush, mouthwash? Like, what's the way we're supposed to do this?
What my dentist says, it doesn't matter when you floss, but I like to do it beforehand. It just makes more sense. Floss, brush, mouthwash. That's my regimen.
That's a good one right there. We were finding out more and more things about Ray. We're going to stick with the Bulls. We'll move top five into the 1 o'clock hour. We'll stick with the Bulls, and it was upsetting. Now that I have a little bit of space, I can talk to you more about the things that bother me about last night's loss to the Knicks as they get ready for tonight's game against Washington. Pregame on the Score will be at 5:45. Back after this on the Score.
Yo, Holmes!
Lawrence Holmes.
Holmes runs it really well.
Noon to 2.
Holmes doing Holmes.
does on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yo, Holmes!
And 670thescore.com. An Odyssey station. It's time for the 2 Minute Report. 2 minutes.
What?
Not one, but two.
Oh, say less.
It's time for the 2 Minute Report on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
Can't wait.
Tonight, the Bulls take on the New York Knickerbockers. DeRozan at the point, crossing over on Barrett, shakes, bakes, turnaround 12-footer, count it, and a foul. DeMar DeRozan, the hoop, the Harmon, what he's got, 33, looking for more.
3 minutes left. Knicks trying to stay in the play-in race. The Bulls trying to keep pace in the playoff chase.
There you go, 15.
Quickly stops, bounce, Robinson got it.
That, hey, you know what? That's where you want to foul him.
Levine driving Barrett behind the back. Zach Levine got it!
Oh, Zach attack. He had him dancing there that time.
DeMar with 34, 5, and 7 at the foul line on the way to the rim with the left-handed layup. Count it! And a foul! Continuation for DeMar DeRozan and the Bulls. It's 104-102 New York. And they go left corner. Burks for 3. Got it! Oh, no! Alec Burks from the near corner. Timeout Bulls. And the New York Knicks lead 107-103. So this ball game is over, and the New York Knickerbockers win their 4th in a row.
That's on us. You know, we can't have consistent lapses where, you know, we let our offense dictate our defense and give teams, you know, a rhythm offensively, you know, and that's what happened tonight, you know, and especially in that second quarter. You know, and once we got down, you know, we was back to fighting that uphill battle. We just got to be conscious of understanding, like, you know, it's a 48-minute game. You know, we got to play hard. No matter how we plan offensively, we got to rely defensively. You know, I got to do a better job, you know, all of us, you know, but it starts with, you know, myself, you know, Zach, Vooch, AC. We just have too many lapses where, you know, we get out of sync and, you know, that kind of dictates our offense and our defense.
Yeah, highlights courtesy of The Score and NBC Sports Chicago. The Bulls took a 17-9 lead, and that was the point where I felt like they let go of the rope. As weird as that sounds, for it to happen in the first quarter of a game, they thought they had knocked the Knicks out. And the Knicks were like, nah, we're still going to play, and we're going to actually rebound. That's what we're going to do. We're going to get on the glass. In a night where, yo, Holmes!
Lawrence Holmes.
Holmes runs it really well.
Noon to 2.
Holmes doing what Holmes does
on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yo, Holmes!
And 670thescore.com. An Odyssey station. It's time for the 2 Minute Report. 2 minutes.
What?
Not one, but two.
Oh, say less.
It's time for the 2 Minute Report on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
Can't wait.
Tonight, the Bulls take on the New York Knickerbockers. DeRozan at the point, crossing over on Barrett, shakes, bakes, turnaround 12-footer, count it, and a foul. DeMar DeRozan, the hoop, the Harmon, what he's got, 33, looking for more.
3 minutes left. Knicks trying to stay in the play-in race. The Bulls trying to keep pace in the playoff chase.
There you go, 15.
Quickly stops, bounce, Robinson got it.
That, hey, you know what? That's where you want to foul him.
Levine driving Barrett behind the back. Zach Levine got it!
Oh, Zach attack. He had him dancing there that time.
DeMar with 34, 5, and 7 at the foul line on the way to the rim with the left-handed layup. Count it! And a foul! Continuation for DeMar DeRozan and the Bulls. It's 104-102 New York. And they go left corner. Burks for 3. Got it! Oh, no! Alec Burks from the near corner. Timeout Bulls. And the New York Knicks lead 107-103. So this ball game is over, and the New York Knickerbockers win their 4th in a row.
That's on us. You know, we can't have consistent lapses where, you know, we let our offense dictate our defense and give teams, you know, a rhythm offensively, you know, and that's what happened tonight, you know, and especially in that second quarter. You know, and once we got down, you know, we was back to fighting that uphill battle. We just got to be conscious of understanding, like, you know, it's a 48-minute game. You know, we got to play hard. No matter how we plan offensively, we got to rely defensively. You know, I got to do a better job, you know, all of us, you know, but it starts with, you know, myself, you know, Zach, Booch, AC. We just have too many lapses where, you know, we get out of sync and, you know, that kind of dictates our offense and our defense.
Yeah, highlights courtesy of The Score and NBC Sports Chicago. The Bulls took a 17-9 lead, and that was the point where I felt like they let go of the rope. As weird as that sounds, for it to happen in the first quarter of a game, they thought they had knocked the Knicks out. And the Knicks were like, no, we're still going to play. And we're going to actually rebound. That's what we're going to do. We're going to get on the glass. In a night where you have the best player on the Knicks not be able to score, how does he help the team? He helps the team by going out and getting you 13 rebounds. And the Bulls got doubled up in the offensive rebound category. The whole thing was just a mess. Like an absolute mess that they fought back. Like they showed heart. But that's not enough. Like it's you got to take these games so seriously right now. Like where things stand right now for the Bulls and them trying to not end up in the play-in situation, you've got to look at opportunities against lesser teams and take them seriously. Like take tonight seriously. It's great that you've got tiebreakers. Don't make it so that they don't matter. And losing games like that, man, come on. Like it was as frustrating to me as the Sacramento loss. More so because they just kind of stopped playing. And that's annoying. We'll have more on the Bulls inside the next hour of the show. We got a special guest coming up. Lucas Williamson from Loyola has put together a really great documentary. He and the crew over there, it's called The Loyola Project. It's an incredible history lesson of not just Loyola basketball, but this fair city. I'm going to talk with Lucas next here on The Score.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.